Our reading this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, starting at verse 12. Final instructions. Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and all that it brings to us. And we just pray for David now as he preaches to us. I pray that you will bless him and move among all of us with your spirit. In your holy name, amen.
Thanks, Lisa, and hello, everyone. So good to be able to speak to you this morning. I wonder, how are your relationships going, your friendships, your connections with those that you know and love? If you've been in lockdown and in close proximity to people, that can sometimes put a great stress on relationships. And so I wonder how you're finding things kind of, I think it's 3 months, almost 100 days now into that. Or maybe you've actually been much more isolated and you're just beginning to now be able to meet with people as lockdown eases. And there's a different stress that that can bring onto our relationships and friendships. You know, one of the things that has made such a difference to us is the kindness of others to us through this time. One of the things particularly that comes to mind is just before lockdown, our gearbox broke on our car. And wonderfully, someone from our community group has been sharing their car with us through this time when we've been without a car. And, you know, it makes such a difference when someone shows you kindness. But maybe you've actually been in a situation where rather than kindness, you've experienced unkindness. I know that's a reality for many. And the difference is so stark. You know, we've had a neighbor that some years back made life so difficult for us and was really kind of just unkind in the way they dealt with us over a kind of parking issue that was a really painful, stressful time for us and for even some others here in our kind of courtyard. But then in this lockdown time, another neighbor, once he'd finished painting his house, said, would we like him to paint our house? Now, I'm terrible at that kind of thing. And it was wonderful these past few weeks when he has completely repainted the front of our house. So I wonder for you, have you experienced kindness or unkindness? I know many in our city have been dealt with unkindly by many different people. And my longing for us as a church is that we would be those who are able to bring kindness to people around us. You know, that when we are treated unkindly, it is awful. But when we experience kindness, it is wonderful. It is wonderful. And our passage in 1 Thessalonians 5 this morning, as Paul kind of comes towards the end of this amazing letter, it kind of applies all that we've been hearing about the living hope that we have in God, the impact that has on our lives. And there's some really practical teaching that Paul gives about how we do relationships well. And this passage that we've just had read for us by Lisa particularly ends with this wonderful encouragement to show kindness to each other and to everyone else. And one of the things that I've loved in this service so far this morning has been those little videos of some of those superheroes and the way they've shown kindness. And as we were talking about this service, we talked about this little bit from Spider-Man as well. Here we go. Thanks, Ben.
Finally. this for a second? Thanks.
Hey, is this anybody's bike? No? Hey, buddy, is this your bike?
No change.
Does anyone have a pen? Do you have a pen?
You know, when Spider-Man discovered the power he had a choice about what to do with that power. And similarly, when you and I discover all that God has done for us, and we're going to be thinking even more about that as we go through this this talk this morning, and we've been thinking already something about that, when we discover this amazing power that God wants to give to us, then we have a responsibility, a choice about how we're going to respond to that. And this passage is full of some really clear practical kind of moves that we can make. In fact, all of them are kind of an expression of kindness. Kindness can be expressed in all kinds of different ways. And I want to unpack that this morning. But the one thing that's going to help us as we look at it all, that kind of ties them all together, is that however people have treated you, whatever situation you are in, it is always possible for us to move towards them with one kind of expression of kindness or another. And so this morning, I want you to see this. This is our one main point. It's your move. It's your move, how you respond to people around you. It's your move. And it is possible to make that move, whatever the situation, with a kind of form of kindness. And to help us understand something of that, I'm going to lean into an illustration and some helpful kind of pointers from chess. Now, I wonder if you've played chess. Don't worry if you haven't. It's a great game. I'm going to hopefully teach you a bit more about chess, but also particularly teach you a bit more about life and about how to do relationships well. And the first thing I want us to see from these first couple of verses, where it talks about how we relate to those in authority, I want to bring you to a very kind of powerful and important move in chess that's to do with the king. There you go. That's the king. And the castle. There's the castle. And the king and the castle relate to one another. An important move, which is called, not surprisingly, castling. And in castling, you move the castle to the king and the king around the castle. That's how you castle. And it's a move where it's very clear how one responds to the other. And so too in our passage, it's very clear how those in positions of authority should act. And it's also very clear how those who are under those positions of authority should respond. So this is what Paul writes. He says this: "Now we ask you, brothers, to respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other." So how do we respond to those in authority over us? Well, it's a very clear word. It's respect. Respect is something that the Bible teaches us to do to those in authority over us, whether in the church or in family life or in positions of government. We should respect them. How are you doing in respecting those in authority over you? And if you're in a position of authority, the Bible is very clear. It says that those who work hard among you, there's a sense that leaders are those who should work hard in those positions of responsibility they're given. And I want to honor the elders, the deacons, community leaders, and so many others in positions of responsibility in the life of the church who work hard in what they do. And sometimes those in those positions have to bring challenge. It says, clearly, hold them in the highest regard and love because of their work. And it talks about those who are over you in the Lord who admonish you. There is a challenge that sometimes is needed to bring. And it's as we respond well to the challenges and the authority of those over us that actually we're able to live in peace with one another. There's something that helps our whole relationships work well. You know, even Jesus, as he lived his life in a perfect way, lived under the authority of his Father God. And in the way he, as the Son of God, related to his Father, he did everything that his Father wanted him to do. He, as it were, was someone who was willing to come under his Father's authority. And so, is there some person who you're in a relationship with who has authority over you, who you just need to think, am I respecting them? Am I honoring them? Maybe it's your parents. The Bible speaks time and again, honor your parents. Maybe it's to do with a relationship in the church or in work or even beyond that. But the Bible goes on, and Paul moves on from this picture of relating to those who are in authority to then talk about how we relate to actually a number of different kinds of people. And he talks about, in verse 15, he says, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak." We can find ourselves in all kinds of different situations and circumstances, and even at this time of easing of lockdown, in different ways that we respond to risk and to the easing of lockdown that's happening. And this verse in verse 14 reminded me of the queen in chess. You see, the queen is one of the most powerful pieces because it can respond differently in different situations. The queen can move diagonally or in moving straight to kind of horizontal and vertical lines. It can move just one space, or it can move right the way across the board. It can move to defend or to attack or to protect, depending on the situation that it finds itself in. And similarly, you and I need to respond differently to those who are around us based on their needs. So he starts and says, "We urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle." Now, we need to be careful here, because this isn't about those who would love to work and who are maybe this difficult time. So many are facing not just furlough, but now also we're hearing more and more redundancies and the cases of unemployment are rising in our nation. And this is a tough time. And I want to honor so many who have been furloughed or who have faced redundancy. I heard just this week of someone who, though they were facing redundancy, they said they're going to give them more time to be able to serve on that practicals team that we just talked about. And I want to honor people who've responded in that kind of way. And I've been thinking about how with the time that they maybe have, they can still serve or study. But I also want to bring a warning, because these times of lockdown and times of all that we're going through can cause us sometimes to revert to a kind of idleness, to not using our time well. Maybe that's someone around you who you'll notice is doing that. Maybe parents, there's a challenge you need to bring to your children. But also, let's not miss that sometimes we can be the ones. Sometimes that's where we've got the blind spot and we need to heed a warning. Don't waste your one and only life. So how are you using your time? But then after this warning comes an encouragement. It just says warn the idle, but then he says encourage the weak. Encourage the timid. The word actually timid there is sometimes translated disheartened. And as I was thinking about this, I was so struck that in all that's happened, it can be a very disheartening time, so much uncertainty. And what a difference it makes when someone comes and encourages us. And we need to be at this time as we are kind of exploring how we can make the most of some of the easing of lockdown. Let's encouraging one another to take the next steps. One of the wonderful things when we met recently as elders is Philip had a word just to encourage us to say, let's help people take the next steps. What's the next step that God is calling you to take? And I want to encourage you, take it. God is with you. God is for you. He knows your situation. He knows all that you've gone through. Keep pressing forward in him. Don't just try to go back. Look to go forward. And as a church, we don't want to just go back to some old sort of shape. We want to step forward into the new thing and the new shape that God has for us. So I encourage you, and maybe you need to encourage someone else. Know that God is with you and he's for you and he loves you. But then it says, help the weak. You know, we are even reminded as we hear about lockdown being eased and different opportunities. One of the things that's been very clear is those that are shielding can't gather in the same way as others. And even those who are in higher risk categories like older age and underlying health conditions, they're encouraged to actually not gather in the same way. And we need to be very sensitive to that. One of the ways we can help others is being able to not put them in situations they'd feel uncomfortable with, and also to help them by actually coming and helping them practically. And I want to say this morning, if you're listening to this and you need help, please get in touch. We would love to help you practically if we at all can. And if you know someone who needs help, then again, please get in touch. We would love to come and help them. Now, I'm aware that there are people who are listening to this all over the world, so I'm particularly saying that if you live local, but maybe if you live on the other side of the world and you are listening to this, maybe you can think about who you can help near where you are. You know, one of the things that I love about Jesus is he did all three of these things. He warned people. He encouraged people. And he helped those that are weak, whether weak physically or weak spiritually, those who maybe just were in battle with temptation or had got kind of blown away by false teaching. Like Jesus, let's be those that come and look for how we can respond. Let's be like the queen and consider what kind of different situations people might be in and how we respond to that. But then I love this little phrase. It then says, and be patient with everyone. This reminded me of the pawn, a very small piece, but a very important piece. My kids used to sometimes call it when I was teaching them chess, the prawn. It's a piece. There's many of them and all of them move in exactly the same way in chess. They just go one step at a time. And, you know, patience can seem like such a small thing, but it can make all the difference in relationships. It can be so powerful. In fact, the pawn, if it reaches the end of a chessboard, can turn into a queen, the most powerful piece. And patience in relationships can turn around that relationship. But similarly, a lack of patience can ruin a relationship. And again, for us as a church, as we move forward in this time, one of the things I've been saying that I believe that God has been speaking to us as elders about is not to hurry, to be patient. And I want to encourage you in your patience, be patient with one another. Let's look how we can keep growing in patience. God is so patient to us. And it's an expression of our kindness. And believe you me, when we're impatient, it's an unkind way to respond. But, you know, again, patience is a move. And at any time, whatever you're going through, it's your move, how you respond, whether it's with a warning or encouragement or with help or patience. These are all responses that you and I need to make as the Lord leads us. But there is one final thing I want us to see in this passage. It's this final verse where it says this: make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. As I was thinking about this verse, it reminded me of my favorite piece in chess, a unique piece, the knight, sometimes kind of pictured with a horse, because the knight is unique because it has the power to jump over pieces on the board, to actually not let things that might block it, but rather to kind of leap over them and still move in the direction it wants to go in. And so often when people have wronged us, what it causes us to do is not move. It causes us to actually think, well, I'm not going to move towards them. Look what they've done to me. And yet, actually, what we see in this passage is not just random acts of kindness, wonderful as they can be, but actually kindness even to those who wronged us. You know, one of the most powerful things is when we're kind to those who we're quite close with, but they've done something to us. You know, it's so hard to do that because so often it means having to embrace some pain in our moving towards them with love and kindness. And as I was thinking about this, I remembered a very powerful story someone in the church shared once, and particularly a bit in it where they shared about kindness they'd expressed to someone that had hurt them. And I'm going to ask Sharon to share again her story, which she's kindly done on this video. So here it is.
1 Thessalonians 5:5. See that nobody repays evil for evil, but always seek to do good to each other and to everyone. This for me was one of the hardest scriptures to put into practice, but one that has brought great freedom and healing into my own life. And David has asked me to share small snippets of that story this morning. In 2001, I had a phone call from my aunt informing me that my mother had just been diagnosed with bowel cancer. I had been estranged from my mother for many years. The relationship I had with her and the things that she'd said and done had crushed the very core of my being. And for many years, I was locked in a prison of hatred and anger towards her. My thinking towards her was extremely toxic, and the only solace I could find to ease the pain was the hope of someday getting revenge and reciprocating the hurt that she had caused me. As a new Christian,
Yes, I was a Christian. I'd given the Lord many areas of my life to redeem, but I'd never given him my mother or invited him into the pain. After the phone call from my aunt, God spoke to me very clearly about forgiving my mother and the detrimental consequences of not doing so. I realised that my attitude towards her was not only destroying me, it was grieving God, and it wasn't God that I was trying to punish. After pouring the anger and pain out to God and repenting of my attitude towards my mother, God changed my heart, and I was able to choose love instead of hate, and the power of that love had the power to reconcile a much damaged relationship. In a nutshell, I became a mother's full-time carer from diagnosis to death. From that day on, my mother went through every hospital procedure and operation with me by her side, and she was totally dependent on me. We had 8 months together, and we became great friends. She knew that I loved her, and that I'd forgiven her, and she died in peace. Throughout those 8 months, God began a wonderful work of healing in my own heart, and I was no longer tortured by my past. As I relate this, it's like telling a story about someone I once knew. It's so hard to believe that that person was once me. And I am forever grateful and indebted to God that he taught me to overcome evil with good.
When you see that kind of kindness in action, it is so powerful. The secret power of kindness that moves towards even those who've wronged you. It's that kindness that doesn't repay in the same way it has been treated. I think of that, how powerful the movements of people like Martin Luther King have been, as they've not retaliated with violence, but with a whole different vision of how people can live together. You know, Martin Luther King said this, he said, hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. But how do you do that? How do you have the power to live in that kind of way? Well, it's so hard because when someone's wronged us, we are wrestling with the question of who's going to pay? You know, for Sharon, she wanted initially a kind of mum to pay for the hurt that she'd done in her life. And yet, actually, she came to think, no, I'm going to pay for it. I'm going to embrace the pain and still move towards my mum in kindness. Forgiveness is when we are willing to say, we'll pay. And the most amazing thing is that that is how God has dealt with us. When we have wronged him, he still moved towards us in kindness. He forgave us. He said, I'll pay for the wrong David has done and the wrong that you have done. And he paid for it at the cross. That is the amazing kindness and love of God for us. Paul writes in Titus of it this way. He says this. He says, when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. Jesus paid with the agony of the cross so that not just could we be forgiven, that wrong not get in the way. He didn't just kind of leap over the wrong, but actually he, as it were, embraced it, went through it and broke through into that place of kindness that we would have the kindness of God poured out in our heart, that kindness that brings all of God's gifts and resources and this most wonderful gift of his Spirit empowering us to live in a different way, to live the way of kindness. And so this morning, how do you and I need to respond? Well, let's repent for where we've been unkind and impatient. Let's believe in the kindness of God towards us in Jesus Christ, and let's then respond, joining Jesus in how he lived and worked with kindness and patience towards others. And I want to lead us now in a prayer that does exactly that as we respond. Let's pray together. You may just in the stillness want to bring to mind those times where you haven't been kind or patient. And let's come in confession and repentance to God now in prayer. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for where I haven't been kind or patient. I want to turn to you. I want to thank you for your kindness and patience with me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the way you paid my debts, for the immeasurable kindness of the cross. I trust you, Jesus, that as you have forgiven my wrongs and shown me kindness, you can help me to do the same with others. So please guide me in who I can be kind to even today. Fill me with your Spirit and help me and empower me, I pray. Amen.